Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brom, because like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because no.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thank you for being with us here on this Wednesday afternoon, evening, I don't know, 5 o'clock evening, I think, whatever, it's dark out. It's all you need, I don't know. I know, Alaska is dark for months on end, I mean, it's not always evening, but anyway. Let's listen to Bulldog talk about how clocks work. 803-0550 is the number. I am here by myself today. Mike is out sick. By myself, I mean, Zach is here, of course. As always, answering your phone calls and keeping this thing out of the ditch. You know, largely, I sometimes, you know, I'm inevitable sometimes. I'm going to end up there.
Keeps me on my toes.
Yes, it does. Keep you on your toes. 803-0550 is the number. Some very good, like, reasonably measured responses. I know, right? On X. to my Twitter poll, do you believe the Bills can win a Super Bowl with Sean McDermott as their head coach? Way more positive votes than negative. There are two quasi-positive here. I'll just tell you what they are instead of just guessing around it. Absolutely, maybe, but I'm shook. Those are the yeah-ish. And doubt it, and of course not, are the other two. And absolutely and maybe, but I'm shook are ruling the day. Couple of longer responses here. I think Nicholas writes in, I think the Bills can win a Super Bowl because of Allen. It's the most important thing. Sean is good, not great, but you don't have to be the best coach to win a Super Bowl. I think that's entirely reasonable. Entirely reasonable. Andy Reid makes conservative fourth down decisions far more than McDermott, but we never hear about it because he's a wizard of scheming offense and, you know, has Mahomes and they win. I think that's also fair. There's just a couple of examples there. There's, of course, the other side, which, of course, is focused on, well, some of these late-game decisions that have cost the Bills, like perhaps they did on Sunday in L.A. against the Rams. And, you know, it's another loss after 7 wins in a row. We were here, 8 or 9 weeks ago. There's a bye mixed in there, so forgive me on the math, but they lost in early October, the first Sunday in October, they lost in Houston, and there was stuff, right? There was a late drive that started deep in Bills territory, like their own 3-yard line-ish, I think, is without calling up the play-by-play. I think from talking about it enough, that's exactly where they were, and not a lot of time left, and the Bills chose to try to throw the ball, get upfield, get into field goal position, basically not play for overtime, which they had done, I thought, to their detriment against Philadelphia a year prior. So I'm over here going, yeah, good, go. Throw it. You've got Josh Allen as your quarterback. You got time here. Get into field goal range. Win this game. Don't let it come down to a coin flip. Well, 3 incompletions and a punt later, there's Houston with the ball back, and they end up booting a super long field goal and beating you. And so I wasn't at the head of the line at all criticizing McDermott after that, because I supported him being aggressive there and the offense trying to throw their way out of their own shadows of their own goal line. Goal posts. Goal line doesn't make a shadow. The goal posts do. Get that right, kids. But a lot of you were hot about it. Turns out that's the last time they lost until Sunday in L.A., and here we are again. Like the Bills lose a game and right as rain, it's he didn't do this and he didn't do that. Now, I think while I defended him against the criticism in the Houston example, I understand people being aggressive about it. Ross Tucker, one of our favorites every Tuesday, he hated it. A lot of football people hated it. I defended it because it lined up basically with my criticism from the year prior of not doing something similar against the Eagles. So I want to try to be consistent. My name's on the door here, you know? And so I don't want to be two-faced and change how I view how they should handle some of these scenarios. So anyway, that doesn't make me right or wrong. I'm just telling you my methodology, right? Because unlike people who just call the show, like I'm here. Every day, and I don't know, you can keep track if you want. I don't know if anybody really does, but I try not to be one of these people who does one of these jobs who just yells about the thing everybody wants to hear yelled about because you like, you know, loud noises or something. I don't know, you like arguments. Anyway, this thing on Sunday, there was way more room to criticize him for what happened on Sunday, going all the way back to the Rams' last touchdown drive. And the accepted holding penalty, for time alone, I wouldn't have taken that penalty. I don't know that the Rams would have kicked a field goal on 4th and 7. I dearly wish they would have. And part of my thinking is I would have liked McDermott to make McVay make that decision. Instead, they pushed him back, 3rd and 17. They get 12 yards. Now it's 4th and 5. And yes, the tackle moved early and the Cooper Kupp held a guy and all that. Whatever. They scored and that's it. Now I'm down by 9, but I would have made them, the Rams, this is, make a decision on 4th and 7. You kicking or you going for it here? Maybe they get it and everything turns out the same. I don't know, but I would have had a little more time left, and who knows? Maybe they kick the field goal and do you the favor. Maybe they go for it and don't get it. Anyway, the thing at the goal line, the Bills' final touchdown drive, the sneak, the timeout, like it was costly. I think it took the Bills out of a scenario where they could have played for using their timeouts on defense and stopping the Rams and getting the ball back with a chance to drive for a winning field goal. Instead, it placed them squarely into onside kick territory, and that was awful. In my opinion, that was a tough way to handle that scenario. Maybe from the sneak call right on through. Because I'll tell you, a guy earlier told me, I'm 2 feet away from my TV and I'm yelling at my TV. Well, I wasn't 2 feet away from my TV, but they lined up the way they lined up, not looking like the tush-push play. And I thought, okay, this is going to be it's a tight formation, but Zach Davidson is out there, and maybe this is going to be some sort of a look to get the Rams to think it's QB sneak, but it's actually going to be something else, and maybe Allen can run it in himself around the end or up the middle at the C's part or throw an incomplete pass or a touchdown. Either any of those scenarios are better than not getting the sneak and having to call timeout. So a lot of question about late game tactics there, as again, often happens. It has been 8 weeks since we've been here, but we're here again, and that's what generated this topic today for all of you to chime in on at 803-0550. Let's fire that back up. We'll start with Rob this segment. Hi, Rob. Thank you for calling. You are on the air here on WGR.
Thank you, Bulldog. And if Mike is listening, get well soon.
Thank you. On behalf
of
him.
Well, first off, Bulldog, I would like to say thanks for bringing a great itinerary and subjects to this show and making great positive points. Now, I'm going to kill 3 birds with 1 stone. First, oof, Belichick.
Bold.
I want to give you a little visual. Can you picture Belichick in a baby blue Tar Heels hoodie with the sleeves cut off just below the elbows? Wouldn't he look real cute in that?
I'm getting a visual, and I don't really like anything about it. I'm oddly uncomfortable. I want to stop thinking about it. Start talking again, Rob.
All right. Next, as far as the fans that call up coming out of the woodworks and criticizing Belichick, you know, I never hear them when we win, which was a point that you made.
It's McDermott, you mean? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
McDermott, exactly. They always seem to call when we lose.
Well, of
they
course.
They call
right.
when we win.
Right.
And it's like, and that reminds me of Slayer fans coming out of the woodworks for a Slayer concert. The third is absolutely 100% we would win the Super Bowl with McDermott, especially if we're in it this year. With that, I'll keep listening. Never a dull moment.
Rob, Slayer? I mean, Rain and Blood coming up today? Who had that on the bingo card? What a pull. Slayer. Love it, Rob. Thank you very much for the phone call. I don't mean to disregard everything else you said, but you just kind of blew my mind with the Slayer thing. Belichick in that blue. I don't know. I'm going to have to – I want to say this now because it came up earlier and I'm talking about my mind is blown. Just one quick little sidebar. I think – if this actually comes through and they approve the contract and like we're at some point tonight or, even in a little while, like that's it. There's a news conference for tomorrow at noon. I think I'm going to have to respect it. That he wants to coach so badly that he's going to go do this because I really have a hard time fathoming a scenario where he demonstrates to the NFL that he should have one of the 32 jobs. Like if it feels like the ship has sailed on him in the NFL, I think that's with good reason. I do think there's a lot that goes into building a successful team, and he's done it before, but his drafting, the choices they've made with the roster still while he was back in New England, toward the end of Brady and after Brady left, were flat out bad. So I have a hard time envisioning him increasing his marketability to the NFL by going to North Carolina. That's going to go so well that Arthur Smith is going to revisit the idea of hiring him to coach the Atlanta Falcons, or Jerry Jones is going to... I have a very hard time seeing this as a building block to get back to the NFL. Because, he's already, he's already in his 70s. Is he going to just go to North Carolina for 1 year and win 7 games or something? And like, oh, that's it, you're back. I don't know, man. I don't think that it really adds up. So I don't know what he's thinking. I would understand if you think, I've thought the same thing. He's trying to get back to the NFL and he thinks this is a pathway. I think maybe I want to reconsider that. I think maybe I'm wrong to think that. I think he just wants to go coach because I don't see North Carolina as a stepping stone to the Seattle Seahawks or something. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think I want to respect him doing this. Because I don't see it. The ulterior motive, I'm not sure it really adds up for me. Anyway, AJ is up next. Hi, AJ. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, how you doing, Bulldog?
Fantastic.
So this question is probably the most controversial question ever. I know it seems simple. It's not. So I think it falls more of, I know some people compared our head coach to the Lions head coach when it comes to, going for the fourth down as of recent. I disagree with that due to the fact that Sean McDermott is excellent, I think, when it comes to having something happen to him once, which sucks as a Bills fan because it happens to us in the worst possible time, the playoffs. So he'll have a mistake happen in the playoffs, and he'll learn from it. And things like this happen. Like, I don't think this will ever happen again. He will learn from it. He's really good at adjusting next season with certain things. From our experience as fans. The problem is you can't compare him to the head coach from Detroit because he started off going for fourth downs. He didn't have to learn from a loss, or like he's just been that way. So if you can bring up the Chargers head coach from last year, he's known for always doing it, but he was
I'll tell you what I think happened there, AJ. He was very aggressive that first year. He got burned, and I think he changed because the owner told him, like, dude, you're embarrassing me. And so he just went against what he thought was the right thing to do, and he got fired for it. That's what I think happened there.
Yeah, so with the question for me, I do think we can do it. I just think we need to stop being so anti-Chiefs. If the path is for us to go through the Chiefs, I think for the last 3-4 years, we've been, since 2020, we've been building to beat the Chiefs, not be the best version of ourselves. So there's other teams that scare me more in the playoffs than the Chiefs. Like, if we play Baltimore, I think our run defense is so small. We have small linebackers to run with people like Kelce and things like that. We're built to play the Chiefs or smaller defensive people that can run with a quarterback that's mobile, if you get my message. I don't have to talk about it too much. Everybody knows. Yeah. I just think, you know, that's the situation it is. I do think we have a phenomenal coach. We win every year. He has an unbelievable record. We've done great things. It's just when things come up, like if your quarterback gives you 6 touchdowns, it drives us nuts as fans.
I know, man.
You're a defensive head coach.
I know. Yeah.
But that's just me. I'll let you talk.
Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call. Very, very good job there. There is the game of the year point. That gets made, right? I mean, the Chief game, the 13 seconds game was like the most incredible game ever. Oh, the Bills lost. This Eagle game last year is one of the most incredible games ever. Oh, they lost. The Tampa game, what year was that? Was that 22? What an incredible game. Oh, they lost. You know, or 21, whatever year. I don't remember what year it was. It was one of those great comeback. Oh, it's overtime. I mean, the refs really screwed the Bills in that Tampa loss. It was an overtime loss, too. What's the other one? Oh, the Minnesota game here where they got the recovered fumble in the end zone and then the Justin Jefferson 4th and 18 or whatever it was. Like, oh, what a great game. Oh, you lost. And here's another one, 44-42. It's the Rams. What a shootout. It's, oh, yeah, but you lost. I get it. I mean, there's a trend there that, you know, if you want to connect all those, that thread, that's troubling. But there's still just so much more winning than losing when you cut it right down to it. Chris is up next. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think a lot of folks, probably even including myself, don't know what goes into being a head coach. You know, you're managing your coaches, you're managing your players, you have a relationship with administration. I think there's a lot to do there. I do think, though, Sean has brought a winning culture to our organization, but I really want to be honest, and you stole a lot of my thunder. I don't think he has what it takes to win the Super Bowl. You know, you're stealing my thunder. Was that Philly game? 20 seconds left. We've got the ball, and you're going to take a knee, knowing they could get the kickoff and march down the field and score. It's things like that. You know, the fourth and the accepting of the penalty the other Sunday against the Rams. Here's the issue, I think. If you decline that penalty, it's 4th and 7, but you're only giving them one shot if they go for it. If you take the penalty, it's what, 3rd and 17. 3rd and 17. Now you're giving them 2 shots, and let's be honest, we did not stop them all day.
Yep.
You've got to know what's going on. And you know, with Josh, anything is possible. I love him. I just don't think if the Pegulas are happy with playoffs every year, he's our guy. But I really believe in the Super Bowl. He's not going to get us there. He just is missing something. No disrespect, but that's my honest opinion.
I got you, Chris. Thank you. Appreciate the call. The penalty, you know, 3rd and 7 becomes 3rd and 17. They get the 12 yards. McDermott, when asked about it, talked about, and I think I'm trying to remember if he doubled down on this on Monday or not. But it's, whatever. At some point, I think after the game, or on Monday, or maybe both, he referred to wanting to push them out of field goal range. And I'm over here going, let them kick. Like, if they want to kick, someone called us on post game. I remember this distinctly, that it was Sunday night after the game. You know, force them to kick the field goal. Well, you can't force them to kick the field goal. You can force them to make a choice there. And I think, considering the clock and the lead in the game, I would have loved it if they kicked the field goal. I'm down by 6 now, and I'm getting the ball back, and I've got all my timeouts, and it's the 2-minute warning. With that dude playing quarterback? I mean, I know I don't have it made. I'd rather only have to drive for a field goal, but, I mean, I think that would have been ideal. So pushing them out of field goal range is not, should not be the motivation for that. And he said it was, and it really, I guess it's the only motivation there could be, because it's fourth and seven. I want you to make them make a call there. Are they going to go for it? Maybe they get you anyway. And I recognize, you know, there's some chance that you can make a good play on third and 17 too. And now they're in fourth and 17 or something. But the way that game had gone, I would have declined that penalty all day long. And if the Rams want to kick, great. I'm not worried about pushing you out of field goal range. In fact, I'm dying for you to kick a field goal here. That's my view. Again, that's not, you know, law or anything. McDermott might disagree, and maybe he's right too. But I think I'd be better off getting the ball back with all the timeouts and almost 2 minutes left if they kick a field goal there. And who knows? Maybe they miss the field goal. Anyway, I would have declined the penalty. So I think it kind of goes on the pile, right? Nine men on the field for the punt goes on the pile. Quarterback sneak, timeout burn. Now I got an onside kick, goes on the pile. These are all, they're all valid to me. I don't think that it means you cannot win with this guy, but I'd be lying if I told you. That's why I said, like, if I were voting in my own poll, I'm not allowed. I would take the second choice. It's still optimistic. It's maybe, but I'm shook. Because I'm shook by all that. I just laid it all out. I'm not going to do it again. But you believe the Bills can win the Super Bowl with Sean McDermott as your head coach? Yeah, but you know, a little nervous. We get to the Super Bowl and there's one of these moments. Or we get to the AFC title game and there's one of these moments. Like, is he going to get it right? He's gotten a lot of things right, but he's had these gaffes. And that's why we're here, right? 803-0550 is the number. We're just about a half an hour away from Paul Hamilton and the beginning of the Steve Foley Law Sabres pregame show. That is coming your way at the top of the hour. More of your calls on the way right after this. Mike Schoep is off today with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.